Let's turn to our text this evening. It is Luke chapter 15. We will read the entire chapter, the verses 1 through 32. So in the Gospel of Luke, when people truly hear, they often repent. They have some kind of turnaround. They have some kind of internal conversion. And our hope and our wish and our prayer tonight is that some kind of turning happens in each of us when we read the gospel, when we listen to the gospel, when we try and live the gospel. We are very familiar with these three stories, but what I want to suggest tonight is that this isn't really three stories. It's either one story, or we could imagine it as four stories. You will notice that this passage begins with Pharisees and teachers of the law who are muttering, and they're muttering in disapproval because Jesus is hanging out with people he shouldn't be hanging out with. And I'd like to suggest that this is the real frame for the three stories, and the three stories are about something that's lost, something that's found, and then the need to celebrate. And the what's happening in the early verses of chapter 15 is a call to celebrate that people who don't fit, people who are not like us, are welcome with Jesus, and the lost that has been found calls for a celebration. And I think that's why Jesus tells the stories, to try and get the hearers to put ourselves in the shoes of those who are in this particular situation. So it's one story or four stories of lost, found, and the need to celebrate. So before we read tonight, let's pause and let's pray, asking for the Spirit to lead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we gather around a book that is open to us, we pray that your word would open and unlock our hearts, would open and unlock our ears, would open and unlock our mouths, and would open and unlock our lives for all the good that you have to offer. So tonight, whether we are seeking to speak these words, hear these words, or live these words, we pray for a renewing and softening of our hearts. And if tonight is not the night, we pray that your word and spirit would plant itself deeply in us, so that when the time is right, a ripening and an opening might occur, and your life and your growth might be in us. So thank you for this opportunity and opportunities yet to be experienced. We trust you, we love you, and we thank you for your word. In Christ's name, amen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose there is a woman who has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Now he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' With this, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Tonight, Jesus tells three stories, but to appreciate them, you and I really need the backstory of the Pharisees. The first story in Luke chapter 15 is the story of the Pharisees. They are the ones who are muttering and whispering and troubled and offended. Before we too quickly throw them under the bus for this, we need to remember that they were raised like many of us. Some of us were taught that there are some people you don't hang around with. There are places you should not go. And though maybe your parents didn't say certain people are bad, many of us were raised with the impression that there are some people you and I are supposed to stay away from. They will corrupt your character, they will impact your decisions, and if nothing else, you will have a bad reputation if you associate with them. At the very least, many of us were taught that there is something to guilt by association. So even if they didn't say it, many of us were raised with the understanding that certain people were not the right people to hang around with. That's their deal, that's their story. The Pharisees were raised similarly. They took their job very seriously to be pure and undefiled and devout. There are plenty of good people to associate with. There are plenty of well-meaning Christians today that are like them. Some of us are like them. That's just who we are. The Pharisees were shaped by a mission that was based in love for God and the law. Love God above loving others, where absolute devotion puts you against some people. So Jesus speaks the gospel where it is impossible to love God without loving others, including loving your enemies, whoever those people might be. Pharisees met that with confusion because that's not how they understood it was supposed to work. You and I know that they were God's secret service agents who were there to protect God's holiness from contamination. And this is one of the reasons why John the Baptist was rejected for being too standoffish, and Jesus was questioned for getting too close to these corrupt characters. So when they're muttering about Jesus, we get it, because many of us were raised that way too. Stay away from certain kinds of people, at least until they start behaving rightly. Because that's where some of us were raised. That's maybe where some of us live. So what Jesus does is really brilliant. Being the good teacher that he is, he tells them three stories that invite those who hear these stories to put themselves in someone else's shoes, something that for the Pharisees was probably very difficult to do, but not as difficult as embracing his teaching. But maybe by telling them stories, that was a safer in into their lives. Why does he do it? I think he does it to move them out of their immediate thinking and their immediate way of seeing. What Jesus is doing is telling stories that will hopefully move in them some empathy and identification and compassion, some shared humanity. Jesus is moving them out of their brains and out of their heads and out of their theology into their experience. He says to them, "Let me ask you this. Has any of you ever lost your wallet? Have any of you ever lost your purse or your keys or your cell phone?" Well, who hasn't? That's a safer conversation than trying to talk them into seeing tax collectors and sinners different. But have you ever lost something that you've valued or treasured? What was that like for you? Well, you likely experienced distress, and maybe you were unsettled. Maybe you were bent on a mission to recover it. You're not going to sleep until it's resolved. You know it has to be somewhere. You just saw it. I'm sure I put it right here. You're sure of it. Well, what was it like for you when your kid or your grandkid stopped going to church? What did that feel like? And what was it like for you when that friendly Aldi woman invited your son or your grandson to church and then he started going? Did you complain that it wasn't the right kind of church, or that the music wasn't right in that church, or the preaching wasn't right, or the name of the denomination? No, you were just so glad he or she was going. Can you put yourself in those kinds of situations, in those shoes? Well, what happened when you found your wallet or your cell phone or your keys or your purse? What did that feel like? What did you do? Did you celebrate? Did you call your friends? Did you let the whole household know, or the neighborhood say, go out and say, "Let's go out to eat on me. I'm so relieved." You say with your buddies, "First round on me. You'd never guess where I left it." In essence, this is what Jesus is saying. That's what's happening here and now. We are celebrating because what was lost is now found. That's why I'm eating with tax collectors and sinners. What was once lost has now been found. And the truth of the matter is this: if you knew the backstory of the person who occupies those shoes, if you knew the kind of load they carried, if you knew their story, if you knew what their hurts were or their worries were, what has hurt them or what is hurting them, what their life experience is like, my guess is you probably wouldn't do as much muttering. But you need to go deeper to be able to know them and their story. The truth is, their backstory, if you knew it, would have a profound impact on how you are thinking and how you are feeling right now. So put yourself in their shoes. Because maybe they are realizing for the very first time that someone cares about them. That someone cares about their story. Someone is showing them the time of day. Maybe for the first time, they're asking themselves, who is this that would show an interest in me? And I think this is why Jesus tells the story. So imagine you're a shepherd. Imagine you're a woman in that situation. Imagine you're the lovesick father. What would you do? And then let the parable begin to do its work. Engaging in someone else's story in a way that transforms our own, that's what preaching is. It's not like the inner city church that I read about not too long ago, where the leaders of the church made a decision not to serve weekly communion to a certain kind of people that came into the church. You know what happened? It didn't take long for those who qualified for communion, for people to begin to break their wafer and begin to share it and offer it with the people who weren't qualified, who were disqualified. And the community began to be shaped by that kind of empathy, by that kind of compassion. That's the kind of grace that we are reading about in this text today. So an invitation to come out of ourselves a bit and see the world through someone else's eyes. Step into their shoes. Step into their experience. It could be quite a teaching tool for us. Ultimately, Jesus is asking the Pharisees and the pastors and the seminary professors that are surrounding him to step into someone else's place. See their humanity. See what it is like. And that could transform your way of seeing even yourself. The community isn't complete while there is one lost person, or one person on the edges, or one person at a distance. No one should be left out in Luke's gospel. And I think there is a whole world of people, even people in this room, who are lost to an awareness that there is someone who is seeking them, someone who is seeking you and us. And the invitation is to turn and come home to the one who's seeking you and me. But to do that, we might have to discover the empathy that has found us first. What does it do to you to hear that Jesus has chosen you and has chosen to walk in your shoes, in your experience? What does it mean that Jesus knows your backstory and loves you all the more for it? What does it mean for you that there's someone who is seeking you and us and who's rejoicing because we have been discovered and found? There's a whole bunch of people learning together that the gospel is not a merit system, it's a mercy system. And Jesus has put himself in our shoes. Whose shoes is he calling you to walk in and see and call home? At the beginning of this message, I said this is either one story or four stories. And I wonder if Luke invites us to see this text this way and frames it this way so that we even learn to see the Pharisees and the teachers of the law differently. Can we have compassion for them? Can we put ourselves in their shoes as they are hearing Jesus call for the very first time? Because the invitation is for them to come and celebrate. Whatever ways we find ourselves in this text, as the one who has run away, as the one who is responsible, as the one who has lost something precious and sacred, or the one who is pursuing something that is precious and chasing it for whatever it might cost us. Or perhaps we find ourselves in the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who stand at a distance. The invitation is the same, to see the one who comes and walks in our shoes, who embraces our backstory, and who meets us where we are, reminding us that in the kingdom the lost and the found, the lost are found, and there's good reason to celebrate. Find yourself in this story and let the good news of God's mercy find you all over again, and live in the grace of that this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge, O God, that we have been those who mutter. We have been those who have lost precious things. We have been those who have lost sons and daughters and yearn for their return. We have been the older brother who stands smug and at a distance, not understanding the miracle of grace. And we have been the runaway son who's sown his wild oats and who has had moments of coming to his senses. We are in and through this text in our own lives. And then we are reminded of the words that Pastor Luke shares with us tonight. The stories that call us to walk in someone else's shoes and to see them differently. Give us courage, O God, to see ourselves and to see others through the eyes of your mercy and your grace. When we are tempted to live well defended and protected from others and your grace, when we are suspicious and stingy, we pray that the good news of your gospel will find us, that the angels will rejoice because your grace is at work in our lives. So help us to look for the pattern in our lives and in our world of lost, of found, of celebrate. And help us to live that gospel because we have seen the cross and the empty tomb and what it means for us and for our world. In your mercy, bend us toward your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.